a landmark, a breakthrough, a milestone. Some of the words used to describe the deal among Western states to protect the Colorado River from reaching critically low levels. Under the agreement announced yesterday, water districts, cities, and native tribes in California, Arizona, and Nevada would agree to voluntary cuts in water use for the next 3 years in exchange for federal compensation.
Without a deal, the concern is water levels could fall so low that the Hoover Dam could no longer generate electricity and that the river could dry up downstream. Now, the federal government, which had threatened deeper cuts, is now going to review the plan. Let's get the views from two key states. Arizona's lead water negotiator is Tom Buschatsky. He's director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources. Tom, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you for inviting me to speak today.
This was months in coming, and one lawyer we spoke to about this said, at times it felt as if Arizona and California were on the verge of a water war. How tense were these talks to get to this deal?
So I don't think a water war is quite the apt description.
Okay.
But the negotiations are very collegial, often lively, with some really good debates about issues and how to share equitably in what we need to do to protect the Colorado River system, and in particular for us, Lake Mead.
In the end, as you're saying, the states needed to decide how to share these pledges of using less water. Is there something that really forced the issue here that got you to where you are now?
So for Arizona, at least, two proposals by the federal government were both very draconian outcomes with very large reductions to the state of Arizona and its water users. And we needed to find a better way. And we also wanted to find a collaborative way with California and with our other partners in the basin, including Nevada.
That I guess, for Arizona, bad case scenario that you avoided here. What did you avoid? Was it a situation where Arizona cities, such as Tucson and Phoenix, could have lost much of their river water before California lost any?
So that was part of it. My farmers potentially would have lost substantial portions of their water. Those farmers grow 90% of all the lettuce in the wintertime between November and April for the entire United States. Mm. So the stakes were high here, but the stakes were high, although people might not understand it, in the United States as well.
So under this agreement, which I gather the federal government, the Interior Department, is still analyzing and taking a look at, how much will the people of Arizona have to cut back on water use? How will everyday life change?
So there are already some cuts that are occurring in Arizona. Most of those cuts have come to essential Arizona farmers. What this avoided was additional cuts. And the way this proposal works out is water users can voluntarily put their water on the table to be reduced in relation for compensation. And so this allows folks to basically decide their own futures in terms of their reduced water use, and do it in a way that they can handle it appropriately.
Does the federal government have to come back and say, yes, this is enough, or perhaps this is not enough?
That is one of the things the federal government will analyze, yes. But we, the states, as you can imagine, already analyzed this in our minds, and we believe that they will protect Lake Powell and Lake Mead, but also because we had a good winter and the federal government's draft environmental impact statement was using fall conditions from last year, which were much worse than they are now.
Before you got a whole lot of rain and snowpack to make conditions more favorable than they were in the fall.
Right.
And just before we let you go, for persons in the Phoenix and Tucson areas, how will this affect them? Will they also be asked to come forward if they choose to use less water, families?
So it's the cities, the city water providers, who are the ones who have opportunity to put their water on the table. I don't think that those homeowners are going to be asked or mandated to reduce their water use. Most of our water use here 70% or so is outdoors, not indoors.
Mm.
So I think it's a good partnership, and there is value in homeowners and businesses conserving water so that the water providers, the cities, have the flexibility to participate in these types of programs.
Tom Bozhatsky is director of the Arizona Department of Water Resources, and he's the state of Arizona's lead water negotiator in these Colorado River talks. Tom, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Now let's get the view from California, which draws most water from the Colorado River and is the state with the most water rights under century-old rules. Wade Crowfoot is Secretary of California's Natural Resources Agency. Secretary, welcome to Here and Now.
Good to be with you.
Secretary, California is in the hot seat. Now, it gave up some of its historic water rights temporarily to reach this historic agreement, but it's still only about half the amount of reductions that federal officials wanted. My question to you, sir, is should California have given up more to share the water more equitably?
Well, I'll start by sharing that 40 million Americans get their water from the Colorado River, and half of those folks are in California. We recognize that the future of the Colorado River is going to look different than the past. Climate change means hotter temperatures, longer droughts, less water year over year. So California water agencies have been preparing for that reality for some time. 20 years ago, we initiated the largest agricultural to urban water transfer within California to reduce our use of the Colorado River water. And we've continued that up until last fall when we actually stepped up and volunteered to reduce our water use even before a deal came together. So we recognize that California water agencies need to reduce their water use over time, as do water users from across the Colorado River Basin.
Okay, now California permanently retains its historic water rights use, but given the increasing pressure on the Colorado River from across the region, I wonder if this should stay and if a discussion like this is happening in your agency about our ability to retain water rights.
Well, clearly an important conversation has to take place, not only in California, but across seven states that share the river, to talk about, you know, how are we going to sustain the river and sustain our communities and our industries over the next several decades. As I said, there will be less water year over year. Now, the good news about this agreement that was announced yesterday is it's a bridge. It's essentially stabilizing our water supplies in the lower basin over the next 3 years to give our water agencies across the basin the opportunity to update the guidelines that govern use of water in the river. And those guidelines need to be updated by 2026. So the agreement is a near-term solution, stabilizes water supplies, and then we need to have clear questions about how much water, you know, we can use along the Colorado River, who's using it, and you know, when and how.
Yeah, and I think that gets to the heart of it, the who is using it question. You know, I live here in California, and I think many of us feel like we've done our share of conserving water throughout this epic drought in urban areas and households. I want you to tell me what I and other people living in cities don't understand about the water needs of farmers who grow, as we just heard, in Arizona, many vital crops in places like the California Imperial Valley.
Well, I think most of us at this point in time, you know, go to the grocery store and we go to the supermarket and we you know, purchase produce, really any type of produce that we want. And few of us understand all of the water that goes into all of that produce, regardless of what kind of produce and where it's grown. So, you know, the food we eat, whether it's, you know, crops or meat, or even the clothes we wear, takes a lot of water. And so in any place around the world where there's significant agriculture activity, most of the water is used for agriculture. And that obviously sustains us. And so even if we're not farmers ourselves, we recognize that, you know, the water that we use across this region is putting food on our table. At the same time, we know that both, you know, farms and ranches as well as cities can be more efficient with their water use. So part of this deal, part of this agreement is reducing our water use through innovation, including reducing our water use for agricultural production through voluntary and innovative mechanisms.
We only have a few seconds left. Have you got the Upper Basin buy-in on this? We heard that they may not have signed off yet.
Well, this has primarily been a lower basin plan because it's really our three states that have to put together the plan. That being said, we're glad that the Upper Basin joined the Lower Basin in a letter, and all seven states requested that the federal government assess this plan for its feasibility over the next 3 years.
Okay. We'll continue to follow this. Wade Crowfoot is Secretary of California's Natural Resource Agency. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.